This is Ozarks at Large. Racial Cleansing in Arkansas, 1883 to 1924, is a newly published monograph by Guy Lancaster, editor of the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture, which is a project of the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies at the Central Arkansas Library System. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the author examines several dozen incidents of race violence which took place in Arkansas through the lens of politics, land, labor, and criminality.
After the Civil War ended and enslaved African Americans were free to build independent lives, many set their sights on Arkansas, says Dr. Guy Lancaster, who's devoting a portion of his career to researching and writing about historic race relations in Arkansas.
Arkansas had a much more moderate regime of race relations going on at this time. Also in part because Arkansas hadn't really been developed before the Civil War. Very few miles of railroads, very few mines, little in the way of a timber industry. And so all these things sort of exploded into being after the Civil War, and there was a tremendous need of labor.
Arkansas African Americans had a chance to start over, Lancaster says, away from southeastern plantations.
People paying hard cash, you know, and that was a real kind of exciting opportunity for African Americans to go and to work in these industries and have financial independence for the first time.
The Southern Homestead Act also provided free land to both blacks and whites, but for many blacks working the land, wage contracts were overtaken by sharecropping contracts, which often accumulated debt. Still, African American neighborhood and districts were established in many places across Arkansas, and certain whites were not happy. Lancaster points to the first documented race conflict taking place in Van Buren County, where black homesteader Burl Lindsay and others had settled on a place today still referred to as Negro Hill.
He was subject to a campaign of harassment. Locals night riding, posting notices, and then attacking him and neighbors during the night, driving them away off their land.
Antagonism towards black independence, Lancaster says, soon resulted in widespread white-on-black violence documented in more than two dozen places across Arkansas.
As African Americans are working in timber industry, working on the railroads, working in coal mines in western Arkansas, more and more an expanding attempt to drive them out of all of these industries.
Towns where blacks were completely expelled and prevented from returning are referred to by academics today as sundown towns, stemming from posted warnings telling blacks not to stay after sunset. But Guy Lancaster is examining a larger phenomenon of racial cleansing in the South.
Racial cleansing can describe the expulsion of African Americans in areas that did not become sundown towns. In some places, expulsions did occur, but there remained a significant minority of African Americans in that area, like Walnut Ridge in 1912 was the site of a massive terrorism campaign against African Americans. But Walnut Ridge did not become a sundown town.
Walnut Ridge, a historic railroad town, lies northwest of Jonesboro in Lawrence County. Racial cleansings occurred with frequency, starting in the late 1880s at Amity in Clark County, on Crittenden County, and Forest City in St. Francis County. Lancaster points to tolerant Republican politics as one trigger.
And one of the cases I discuss was a Conway County case in 1885, where there was an attempt to drive away African Americans because they sort of represented tipping point in Republican political authority there, that there were just enough, if whites could drive away a certain number, they could perhaps win at the ballot box.
Arkansas African Americans were attaining political power, Lancaster says, with 84 black legislators serving in the state general assembly between 1868 and 1893. That streak ended with the less tolerant Democratic Party taking control by 1874. Violent purges continued in Arkansas well into the 19th century on the Ozark Highlands in 1906 in Harrison, at Cotter in Baxter County, and the expulsion of the Catcher community in Crawford County in 1923. But the most bloody in Arkansas may have been the 1919 Elaine Massacre on Phillips County, where a white mob attacked progressive black farmers who were meeting to obtain better prices for their cotton crops. As many as 200 blacks may have been killed, along with five whites.
You know, we retain the idea of sharecropping is largely the reserve of black laborers. But there was, even as degrading as a job could be, there was still immense competition for it.
During this era, just the perception of black-on-white crime could trigger a race riot. The Tulsa race war erupted after a white woman swore she'd been raped by a black man. Thousands of whites rampaged across a 35-city-block Greenwood district, referred to as the Black Wall Street of America. 10,000 blacks were left homeless, 1,200 homes destroyed. As many as 300 African Americans may have died. And the white woman, who claimed she'd been raped, recanted. Descendants have yet to be compensated. Guy Lancaster writes that perceived criminality pushed such violence.
It's what has been called racialized rightlessness. The fact that, you know, race determines in America someone's criminal state.
Popular Jim Crow propaganda also spurred racial cleansings. Certain biologists of the day pointed to blacks as less evolved, cultivating widespread negrophobia. To illustrate, Guy Lancaster, in the final chapter of his book, discusses Salem in Fulton County in 1907.
Whites went to the Salem Cemetery, where African Americans are buried, dug up the black graves, and relocated them to an area called Pilot Knob. And there remains a tiny black cemetery there, only two headstones still standing.
A history which Guy Lancaster has recently discovered and continues to investigate. Even after the racial cleansings ended in Arkansas, Guy Lancaster writes that African Americans remain wary of certain places.
I actually had a recent conversation with my wife, Anna. She has a colleague who's African American. Both of them grew up in Hot Springs. And they were recently talking about sundown towns and racial cleansings. And my wife's colleague can remember growing up in Hot Springs and driving occasionally to St. Louis to visit family and the like, and being told, pack plenty of food, make sure your car is gassed up, especially when you're passing through these areas, because you don't want to stop there. I think it's fundamentally detrimental to our democracy that we have this disparity in how we conceive of these places in which we live.
Guy Lancaster's intention is to no longer relegate racial cleansings to African American history, but to integrate race violence into the white history record, bringing it further into the light. Racial Cleansing in Arkansas is published by Lexington Books, an imprint of Roman and Littlefield, New Studies in Southern History series. The work is being lauded as a new rigorous blueprint for understanding historic race violence in America. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can find copies of Racial Cleansing in Arkansas from Amazon, through your local bookseller, or by searching your public library.